Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and kcnr1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You know, I just realized, too, that I seldom give credit to the opening song for my show. That is a song that was, the lyrics are written by my daughter, Tara Bay Bedford, and it's a wonderful song called We Can't Do This Forever. And it's wonderful. She wrote the music with Jimmy Bryant, an amazing keyboardist. And it's a song about how to let go and recognizing that sometimes you just have to allow yourself to not hang on anymore. So it's called We Can't Do This Forever by Tara Bay Bedford. And you can look it up on YouTube. Just type in Tara and We Can't Do This Forever. It's a wonderful song. They actually use it in domestic violence places and domestic violence talks because it's about letting go. All right, we're going to talk about another way of letting go today. We're going to talk about vulnerability. This is, for some people, it's almost like a swear word. They spend a lot of their life and their time and their energy trying not to be vulnerable as much as possible. And I want to teach you about it today so that you understand how we build defenses about vulnerability and how it gets in our way. So let's look at what vulnerability is. It's the possibility of being harmed or attacked. That's how people tend to see it. The extent to which you can be hurt. Vulnerability to many people is what is their disaster risk. What's going to happen to them? Now, if we look at vulnerability from a physical standpoint, yeah, it's we want to be safe. We don't want to put ourselves on the edge of the cliff and fall down. I mean, vulnerability from a physical standpoint is important, especially right now with this whole coronavirus, COVID stuff. People have vulnerability on their mind a lot when it comes to physical vulnerability. Let's look at economic vulnerability. What are your risks money-wise? If you're smart with your finances, you weigh your economic vulnerability with your risk for investments and things like that. So economic vulnerability is a different thing. Environmental vulnerability. What is the risk to our environment, our personal environment, our homes, to our own things and possessions? What is our environmental risk in our city, in our state, in our country? And we're looking at environmental vulnerability. So when you look at physical, economic, and environmental vulnerability, there are certain things that we could be talking about. But today, because this is Therapy in a Nutshell, and I'm Dr. Patty, we're going to talk about emotional vulnerability, social and emotional vulnerability, because this is the vulnerability that people struggle with a lot. They come into my office feeling very vulnerable, very hurt, trying to recover, and it's a difficult emotion for many people. And some people do it better than others. Some people do vulnerability pretty well until they feel like they've been burned. So does vulnerability to you mean that you're being weak or defenseless or fragile? Does vulnerability mean that you're trying to be open-hearted, to let love in, to let people in? You need to stop and say, what does being vulnerable mean to me? It helps to say, what's the opposite of being vulnerable? And let's throw out some words. And I want you to assess, is this you or not? So you're going to say, okay, here are the words that are the opposite of being vulnerable. Guarded, shielded, resistant, impenetrable, careful, closed. All right, those are words that if you resonate with those, vulnerability might be something that you're afraid of. And vulnerability might be something that you guard against. Now, some people would say that the opposite of vulnerability are these words. That you're safe, that you're strong, that you're protected. So the interesting thing is we have a basic human need to be loved. We all want to be loved. Almost everybody. And in order to let love in, you've got to put the wall down. So how strong, how thick, how resistant your wall is directly related to how vulnerable you're allowing yourself to be. Now, what contributes to our vulnerability? You know, I think if you look at a young child who hasn't learned that they can be hurt, whether it's physically or emotionally, and they're so open-hearted and they're very present with their feelings. And then slowly over time, young children learn to not feel, to shut down, that certain things will get them in trouble or get them harmed or get them hurt, and they begin to close down and fear being vulnerable. Take a third grader who's never experienced being bullied before, and all of a sudden this little 7-8-year-old is getting bullied, and they start to recognize that not everybody likes you. Not everybody's going to include you. Some people are going to be mean. That it can sometimes be their first experience with being vulnerable to harm and to hurt. So why even embrace emotional vulnerability? Because the interesting thing about it is if you can't open up your heart some, you're not going to let love in. People can't get through your big fat wall if you're keeping them out on purpose, even if you're doing it unconsciously. So emotional vulnerability is important if you want to feel connected in this world. When you allow yourself to be emotionally vulnerable, you build trust. You connect with somebody, and when you're connecting your hearts, your energy, connecting your space, connecting how you talk, you build trust. Because what you're building is empathy and understanding. Empathy is when you can put yourself in that position. Sympathy is when you understand. Empathy is when you have been there, you get it, you're experiencing it. So when you allow yourself to be emotionally vulnerable, you're going to build empathy and understanding, which is going to build trust. When you get to know another person's true self, when you let someone else see the real you, your true self, that's what begins to build that empathy and that understanding. So I know what I'm saying right now is actually scaring some people. They're going, oh, I don't want somebody Oh, they knew the true me. And this is something I hear in my office. I've been in private practice for 34 years, and I've heard some version of this so many times I can't even count. If somebody knows the true me, they won't really like me because they'll figure out who I really am. That has to do with your core belief about who you are. If you don't feel that you are worth loving, if you feel like there's something intrinsically wrong with you, then you're going to feel like being vulnerable is scary. So to allow in love and joy, we need to stop believing that we need to put up walls and try to be safe as if we're at war. We need to stop creating ways to not be vulnerable. We need to stop fortifying our defenses if we expect an attack. We've got to stop thinking of vulnerability as a physical vulnerability, a physical thing that's going to hurt us. We have to start looking at how we do vulnerability emotionally. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about more of the emotional aspect of vulnerability. By the end of this show, I want to give you some skills to allow yourself to grow and develop and step into your vulnerability. We're going to break. We'll be back in a moment.
Nothing says hang on to summer like classic root beer float treats. At Black Bear Diner, they paired sweet root beer and decadent vanilla cream in a dreamy cream pie filling to make a root beer float pie, served in a graham cracker crust and topped with whipped cream and maraschino cherries. Grab one with your meal or box one up to go. Always shareable, always delicious. But hurry! Serve this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, where you can always feed your inner bear. Dine-in, delivery, and carry-out available.
Black Bear Diner.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Reading Electric Utility, like more than 2,000 utilities across the country, is a nonprofit public power agency owned by the customers. This year, we are celebrating 100 years of serving the city of Reading. October 3rd through the 9th is Public Power Week, and we celebrate the benefits of living in a public power community. These benefits include low rates and local control. Community ownership means your money stays right here in Reading. Publicly owned utilities like REU provide excellent service and work directly for the community.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. We are talking about vulnerability. You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. Go to randymcginnis.com and you can check out all six of his CDs. They're incredibly beautiful and very relaxing. Okay, so we're talking about vulnerability. Vulnerability, how how much you are able to allow yourself to be vulnerable is directly in relation to how much you believe in yourself. So when you doubt yourself, it tends to make you more guarded, build your wall up, push people away, and feel like you can't recover if you get hurt. Let me give you kind of a metaphor to hang on to, kind of a story here. My 3-year-old grandson, Trenton, who is just amazing, and I'm not prejudiced at all just because I'm grandma. Last summer I was working with him on learning how to swim. And my 7-year-old granddaughter, who's also amazing, Scarlett, went and jumped into the pool. She ran from far back and she kind of bonsai'd cannonballed into the pool with glee. It was just beautiful. So Trenton had on his little swimmy jacket because he's still learning how to swim. And Trenton decides he's going to follow what his cousin did. So he goes and bonsai's into the pool with a big, huge jump, goes under, comes up sputtering, and well, it colored how Trenton was learning to swim for the rest of the summer. Because in that gleeful, unguarded moment of jumping into the pool, he felt extremely vulnerable. And then he was fearful when he was trying to learn how to swim for the rest of the summer. So he didn't want his head to go underwater. He all of a sudden had a guardedness about him that he didn't have before. And if we were to put this in vulnerability terms, Trenton recognized that when he gleefully jumped into the pool and went way underwater and came sputtering back up, that he was vulnerable when he was learning how to swim. So, you know, you don't, some people believe you just throw a kid in and let them learn how to swim. I've taught swimming for many, many years, and I don't do that. I want safety, and I want someone to feel comfortable and confident. So we spent the rest of summer working on confidence and getting him back used to being vulnerable in the water. This is what happens so often when we risk loving. We feel like the very first time you risk loving, you jump in with glee, with both feet, you cannonball into the deep end, and you are like, I'm all in, and you're joyful. And then the first time you get your heart broken, the first time you struggle with that loss and that grief and that sadness of having your heart broken, all of a sudden, you don't want to jump into the deep end with both feet with glee. You want to stick a big toe in the water, and you want to go in slowly on the steps, and you want to make sure that you don't go underwater and get hurt. You're catching the drift on the story. It's a true story about my grandson, but it's also a true story about vulnerability. Sometimes we don't know when we are vulnerable to hurt or to pain until we've experienced the hurt and the pain that came from being vulnerable. So how do you overcome that? How do you overcome your vulnerability to loss? Okay? It's an interesting concept, isn't it? We want to be loved. We want to be close to people. We want acceptance, and we want to feel safe in a relationship. But at the same time, we hold back and we try to go in sticking one big toe in the water to see if it's going to be cold or not. Mark Twain had an interesting statement. He said, when you fish for love, bait with your heart, not your brain. And that's what's interesting. When we jump into the deep end with both feet and we jump in with glee, we're jumping in with our heart. When our brain says, this could be scary. We could get hurt. We could get hurt again. We could get hurt again. And that's the thing that I've heard in my office over and over again. I've been burned. I can't stand the idea of getting hurt again. It hurts too much. I don't think I can recover. I almost went under the first time. I don't ever want to experience that again. So at the same time that you're avoiding and pulling back, there's this push-pull. I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. No, I don't. I really want to be connected with somebody. I want to be in a relationship. I'd like to have a life partner. No, I don't. That's too scary. So the push-pull makes us feel crazy. So how do you risk love when you know how badly loss hurts? You begin to fear vulnerability because what you're fearing is heartache and loss. Vulnerability is interesting. It is where the joy and the connection lie within us, okay? It is important that we experience them in order to feel that connection in the world. But the fear of pain is huge, and it's a normal, natural instinct for people. When you have experienced profound loss, and let me go over some of the profound loss that I see in my office all the time. I would say one of the biggest, most profound losses you can experience is the death of a child. Another one is a death of a significant person in your life, like a spouse, somebody you're super close to, might be your sister, might be a sibling, it could be somebody that takes up a significant portion in your life and you're really connected. When you experience those kind of losses, it's really stressful. And part of what makes you experience the loss and the intense grief is the connection that you had. So let's go down the stress scale a little bit more. A divorce, being left. Sometimes divorce, it depends on if you're the rejectee or the rejector. Being the rejectee where somebody rejects you, leaves you, abandons you, that can be extremely painful. And what you recognize is I gave that person my heart and they threw it back at me. So I was vulnerable to my connection and my love with that person and they left. They didn't want me anymore. Or they died and I can't handle the extreme pain of the loss. Now, this brings up an issue with how do we heal from the pain when we've been vulnerable and then we experience the loss. We get the profound hurt, the loss, the grief, the intense emotional and physical pain. It's almost like somebody has stuck a knife in you. The pain is so intense. What I've always taught people is the way out of that kind of pain, the way out is through. And it's interesting because what we want to do when we feel that kind of pain is numb it, like alcohol, drugs, escape, addictions, shopping. And I always say drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, food. Okay, those are the things that we use to not feel. So you try to escape the feelings, try and push them away, and we hope that they'll go away. And you kind of get this feeling that if you can push your intense emotions from loss away, then at some point you will just heal because you've had enough time. Well, my experience, both personally and professionally, is unless you embrace it and you experience it, it's going to last a lot longer. The way out is through. You can't keep circling it and hope that it just kind of spontaneously dissipates. It doesn't work that way. I've never seen it work that way for myself or for people that are going through this. And I'll share a personal story with you. My husband, we were married 35 years. We were together 39 years. And his name was Rich. And Rich had a terminal brain disease called frontal temporal degeneration, behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration. So he was very sick for at least 8 years. The last four were really bad. The last one was horrendous. And I knew that I would grieve when Rich died, but there was nothing that prepared me for the intensity of the grief. I had lost others before, and I had grieved the loss of people that I loved, but nothing prepared me for the all-encompassing, every breath I took, grief. It's hard to even explain unless you've really experienced profound loss. It's hard to even breathe. So I knew that I needed to do what I've taught people to do in my practice forever. And that was the way out was through. So I allowed myself to fully hold the grief and the loss of Rich. And I think the hesitation you're hearing in my voice is because it wasn't easy. It was horrid. But I didn't hold back. I really isolated for a long time because I couldn't handle anybody else's emotions on top of mine. I had my hands full with my own. But I would let myself, like, scream into the carpet. I would lay on the floor and scream and just scream, blood-curdling scream into the carpet. Because I didn't know what else to do with the pain. And I screamed into the carpet because I didn't want neighbors to think that somebody was being murdered in my house. Because that's what it sounded like. It was not pretty. And I would do that sometimes for a couple hours at a time. If I couldn't stop, I'd call my youngest daughter and she would be very supportive and help me calm down. But I was trying to embrace the intense pain of the grief because I truly believed that the way out was through. And eventually the screaming and the horrendous pain stopped. If anybody tells you you recover from grief, they're lying. They haven't done it themselves. What happens with intense loss and hurt is that you learn to carry it better. And that's the way I think of it. I will always grieve for Rich. I will always miss him. I will always hold that. But I carry it better. That's just the best way to put it. You carry it better. And you go through life without having to scream into the carpet anymore. So the same thing happens with vulnerability. What I knew was that I would grieve tremendously for the loss of Rich. What I didn't know was the intensity that I would feel because I didn't fully understand it until I was in the midst of it. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you more about how do you step into vulnerability. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Dropin.mobi. That's dropin.mobi.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi! My name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back. Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about vulnerability. So it's hard to talk about vulnerability without talking about pain, right? Because the times we have been vulnerable in our life have not always been fun, or have not always worked out perfectly. You can't grow on here on our school without experiencing adversity and pain. That's where growth happens. I have never had anyone in my office yet who says, I have led a perfect, wonderful life, and it has created so much growth for me. No. People come into my office, and they are going through adversity of some kind, and it is that adversity that catapults them into growth. So learning how to handle vulnerability is about embracing the adversity. I know, that doesn't sound good, does it? It sucks. It's hard to think that might hurt again. So how do we embrace vulnerability when we have been, when we've experienced the pain of being vulnerable and something not going our way? One of the things you've got to do is you've got to let go of the guilt, the shame, and the blame. And one of my, I did a podcast on guilt, shame, and blame. You can pull it up and listen to it. Guilt, shame, and blame will color how we move forward in life. If you felt that you were vulnerable and you got hurt, you're probably holding on to either guilt that you didn't see it coming or that somehow you made it happen. You probably have shame that you feel weak because of your vulnerability, and you probably have some blame. I love that person, and they abandoned me. I tried giving my all to a relationship, and all I did was get hurt. I tried loving, and it's painful when it doesn't work out. Hear the guilt, shame, and blame in that, okay? We have to overcome our belief that vulnerability equals weakness, and that we are responsible for that weakness. That's the guilt and the shame, okay? The blame happens when we try to put it off on somebody else. If only they had loved us more or better or hadn't stopped, then we would not have felt the pain of being vulnerable. Okay, so vulnerability. We have to embrace that open-heartedness in order to experience what we want, which is love, right? We want to be connected. We want to feel with someone in this world. And in order to let that love in, we have to open our minds and our hearts to the idea of being vulnerable. Okay? So that's what Mark Twain was saying. You got, if you're going to fish for love, you want your bait to be your heart, not your brain. Because your brain says, oh, not doing that. Nope, not again. Not going to get hurt again because that really sucked. I don't want to do that. So that's the word that I hear all the time in my office. I don't want to get hurt again. I hear that word again. I'm not going to risk getting married again. I'm not going to put myself out there again. I don't want to date because dating is full of rejection and heartache, and I can't handle any more of that again. Yeah. So sit with that word. How often do you say, I can't do that again? We need to overcome our belief that vulnerability equals we're going to get hurt. So let's look at the idea that if we allow ourselves to be in a place of love, that means we're allowing ourselves to trust. And who are we trusting? If we're going to allow our hearts to open up to love, who are we trusting? The first thing, first person we are trusting is ourselves. When you doubt yourself and you think you are not worth loving, or if somebody knew the true you, that they wouldn't stay with you, that they'd run, you're not trusting yourself. Self-doubt is the biggest killer of vulnerability and keeps you from stepping into allowing people into your heart, allowing you into their heart. So we have to trust ourselves. The next thing we have to trust is that there is goodness out there in other people.
So oftentimes I tell people who are trying to be vulnerable and start dating again after being hurt badly, I try to tell them that dating is about going out and meeting people and making friends. You don't have to see every potential date as somebody you're going to marry. You don't have to assess them for whether they're going to hurt you or not by leaving you. You're going to make friends and see if there's any kind of connection, chemistry, compatibility. Would you want to spend time with this person as a friend? Make a friend first. Treat all men and women the same, not as a potential sexual partner, not as a potential mate. Treat them as friends. Then when you start to get more vulnerable, you open up your vulnerability a little bit at a time, and you see if they are capable of opening up their vulnerability. And you can take that slow. It's okay. You don't have to, you know, date by starting a checklist right there and, you know, assessing them for marriage. You're seeing who has the capacity to be vulnerable. Do you? Do they? And how do you connect? When you feel chemistry with somebody else, you can only feel that connection if you have stepped into being vulnerable at least a little bit. So you have to risk getting to know people. Now, it's interesting because somebody starts a new job and you say you're probably going to make friends and there'll be people that you really like there, and they're not real scared. They're saying, okay, you know, they're not thinking of mates and love partners and somebody to date. They're thinking of getting to know their coworkers and making friends and maybe having a barbecue and having people to invite over or go to coffee with somebody. They leave out the fear of the vulnerability piece. They're just making friends. So believing in yourself is part of that trust. Trusting that there are good people out there and that you can find them. It doesn't mean that you have to be, people say I'm not stupid. You're not stupid. There are people out there that are not who you'd want as friends, okay? That's all right. You don't have to go forward with a friendship when you find out that you are not like-minded or have the same values or something's off, okay? The other thing is you have to have some kind of spiritual trust. And I'm not talking religiously. For me, that is to say I trust in God. For you, it might be that you trust in the universe. You might trust in a religious figure for your religion. I'm saying that you have to have an idea that there's forces in play beyond who we are. People will joke around and say, it's kismet, it's soulmates, it was meant to be. Okay, that's fine. You're putting a spiritual perspective on it. But when we talk about trust, we're talking about trusting ourselves, trusting others, and trusting that force in the universe. Okay? For me, it's that God energy. Okay. But those things are a huge part of who we love and who we trust and opening ourselves up to vulnerability. Now, let's talk about the opposite of that. When we fear getting hurt and we close down any type of vulnerability at all, we raise the drawbridge, we fortify the walls, we try to stay safe, we all of a sudden start thinking of vulnerability like a war. You've got to, you know, make the castle safe from anybody getting in. Then we're in a place of fear. And we're in a place of mistrust. So who are you mistrusting? The same. You're mistrusting yourself. You don't think that you're worth loving. You doubt who you are. You've got guilt, shame, and blame, and you're leading with that. So you're not trusting yourself. And a lot of people in my office will say, oh, yeah, I have a bad picker. I hear that all the time. I have a bad picker. I don't know how to pick people. What they're saying is if I let myself get vulnerable and somebody loves me even just a little bit, I'm like a puppy who wants to be, you know, have its back patted. Pat me on the head. I'm a puppy. I'll wag my tail. You like me? Oh, you like me? Okay, you got me. You got me. They don't trust their own vulnerability because they feel so desperate inside. So the mistrust of self is huge in whether you can allow yourself to be vulnerable or not. Then there's mistrust of others. People aren't sincere. People lie. They don't really, they're not consistent. They take their love away. I can love wholeheartedly and be vulnerable, Dr. Patty, but people aren't trustworthy, and they pull their love away, and they reject me, and that hurts. So the mistrust of others and what they're going to do with your heart when you're vulnerable is something that makes people say, I won't do that again. And then there's the mistrust of God, the mistrust of the universe, this feeling of being forsaken, not that things don't work right for you or that opportunities aren't given to you and you're not, you're not going to be taken care of. So this whole idea of trying to exist in a place of love and trust or recognize when we are fearful and mistrustful of everything gets in the way of just being easy with vulnerability. We want to be able to jump into the deep end with glee, let our face get covered up with water, kick to the surface, and come up laughing. But once we've gotten frightened, once we've gotten hurt, it's hard to let ourselves jump in the deep end again with glee. It gets difficult. So we fear rejection and abandonment. Even when we want to really try sometimes, we want to get love. We want to be loved. We want to connect with other people. But that fear of rejection and abandonment makes us use that word again. I don't want to be vulnerable again. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to help you learn how to be vulnerable again.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 16 for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay education programming. To learn more, visit turtlebay.org.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back. Therapy in a Nutshell. I love this song. This is Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. It's just gorgeous music. Go to randymcginnis.com. All right. We're talking about vulnerability. So you're kind of recognizing yourself on whether you're very good at being vulnerable or whether I'm actually speaking right to your heart and you're going, yep, not doing that, not again. There's that word, again. All right. So how do you learn to be vulnerable when you're afraid? How is Trenton going to learn to swim without his swimmy vest and know that he's safe? He has to learn to trust himself, right? So let's talk about how do you learn to be vulnerable. I want you to look at the idea that allowing yourself to be vulnerable is allowing yourself to take a risk. And what is the risk? Being hurt, right? We get so scared that our heart's going to be hurt again. How do you love again when somebody might die? They might leave you. You might get a divorce. How do you do that? How do you open your heart up that wide and deal with that much loss and risk loving again? Okay, so let's talk about risk. Let's picture that you're standing over here behind your wall. You've got your big fat wall there that's keeping you safe. Your drawbridge is up. Castle is fortified. You are in the safe zone deep inside. So you have to step outside the safe zone in order to take a risk. So let's say you're seeing Dr. Patty in therapy and I'm saying, look, what would it look like if you took a risk about dating, about stepping out there and finding love again? And we have to get by all the nope, 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 not doing that, can't do that, can't, I wouldn't survive. We have to get by all that, talk about all that loss. Then how do you take that risk? Well, there's things you have to do that are outside the safety of the castle. You have to meet people. You have to let friends know that you're interested in meeting somebody. You have to actually go to coffee with that person that you have been interested in at work. You have to get on a dating site and be careful. Do it smart. But you've got to actually take a risk to step out there, to make some friends, and to begin to see if there's someone out there that you connect with. So outside the safe zone is this area we'll call risk. You can think about how you want to risk, and you can get help from friends to start to step into it and allow yourself to be a little bit vulnerable. Right? You're starting to be the vulnerability, and you know you're being vulnerable because you're a little bit scared when you take a risk. So when you take a risk, the thing that you do is you think about what are the possibilities that could happen? What are the negative possibilities? What are you going to do if you take a risk and the person turns out to be somebody you don't want to stay with? Okay. You have to find a way to not have a second date or to not go out again or to say that this isn't right for me. So you have to be able to stand in your truth when it's not right for you. There's a whole other podcast that I did called Stand in Your Truth. You have to assess, is this right for me? You don't stay with somebody or go on another date with them when it isn't right. So you have to have a way to exit. And a lot of people are afraid of that controversy. They're so afraid of being hurt themselves that they're afraid of hurting somebody else by saying, this isn't quite right for me. And so they don't want to be vulnerable and go out on a date because they don't know how to exit if it's not right. So you have to have an exit strategy if something isn't right for you. You also have to recognize that you might like this person and they might not like you back in terms of dating, right? And what are you going to do with that disappointment or that rejection or that feeling of I put myself out there and it wasn't returned? The negative things that can happen when you take a risk are real. This is where resiliency comes in. When you feel like you have been vulnerable and you've been hurt, your resiliency is low. How strong are you to say, hey, that happens sometimes. Not everybody's right for every person. I would rather find out now in the beginning when I'm making friends with somebody than later down the road. Resiliency is internal strength. And if your resiliency is low because you have been vulnerable and been hurt, then resiliency is something that you're going to work on. Resiliency is also based on how much you believe in yourself and how much are you worth loving. When you believe that something's intrinsically wrong with you and you are not worth loving, your resiliency is low because you think people are going to throw you away. So building resiliency is important. You leave your safe zone. You leave the safety of the castle and the walls. You step out and take a risk. Put yourself out there a little bit. And if something negative happens, you have to recognize you have survived hurt and pain before, and you will survive again. Now, when something negative happens, you do end up retreating to the safe zone and regrouping. That's okay. If you can't regroup from the safe zone, if you can't step out of your safe zone, then you probably need to be in therapy to be talking about your self-esteem, how you view yourself, whether you're worth loving, and talk about your resiliency. Okay? Those are good things to talk about in therapy. All right. The other thing you do when you take a risk is you recognize all the positive things that can happen when you take a risk. So you've stepped out of your safe zone. You're going to risk meeting people. You're going to risk being vulnerable enough to let love in or to let friendship in. Don't even go all the way to love. You're going to let friendship in. What are the good things that can happen? Joy, connection, fun, gratitude, heartfelt feelings, companionship, connection. Those are all things that you are risking as well. So what I like to do when I risk is I like to know what the possible negative consequences are to the best of my ability. I want to know what the possible positive outcomes could be if I take this risk. And then if I choose to take the risk, I want to focus on the positive. I don't want to take a risk saying, oh, it's going to hurt, this is going to be bad, I know it. I want to dive into the deep end with glee. It doesn't mean I'm stupid. It doesn't mean that I have to respect the deep end. But I want to dive in and I want to know that positive outcome can and will occur. If negative outcome occurs when I take a risk, then I want to rely on my resiliency. I want to be able to say, I have been through adversity before. I've been through heartache. I have survived profound loss and grief. I am strong. I know I can handle what comes my way. And if I can't, I know how to reach out and get help. You don't always have to do it alone. Okay? That's really important. And that's part of being vulnerable. When you are connected to other people and your hearts are connected, you don't have to always do heartache alone. You can reach out to somebody. You can go to therapy. You can listen to Dr. Patty's podcast. There's things you can do to speak to your heart, to work on this feeling that is painful for you. Okay, so in learning to be vulnerable, we have to allow ourselves to take the risk of heartache. We have to know that we can and will survive. We need to know that we are resilient and we can handle what comes our way. We also have to change our expectation. This is a lesson that I embrace myself and I like to teach others to embrace. And that is then that when adversity comes our way, it is a gift. We often think, you know, why do I get given bad stuff? If God doesn't love me, I get given garbage stuff. I get heartache and adversity. And if I weren't being forsaken, if God loved me or the universe or whoever put it in your framework, if they loved me, then I would get good gifts. I'd get love. What if the idea that what gets put in your hands is a gift, and it's not being judged as good or bad, right or wrong, whether you're being punished or rewarded? The gift that is put in your hands is a gift for you to open. If it's adversity, it's a gift for your growth. If it's joy and wonderful and love, it's a gift for your growth. What if you stopped feeling like something's wrong with you and your...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.